Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on the scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein. Pleased to be joined by Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd. And Tommy, welcome. What's the vacation spot for the Lloyds in 2026?
Wow. 2026. You know, I think we went to Southern California, get out of the heat a little bit. But, you know, the last couple of summers, we've traveled a lot, you know, with USA Basketball and stuff like that. So it's been more of a lay low summer. And, you know, I guess I'm not, you know, starting any rumors or telling any, you know, anything that's not true. But like, you know, I may have become a grandpa for the third time, like 24 hours ago. So the family's on a little bit of lockdown this summer.
Well, mazel tov to you and your family. It's hard to believe somebody so young as you can be a grandfather this young, but congratulations to you. What has it been like now, you know, as you're going through this next phase in your life? I still think very, very young to be a grandparent.
It's awesome. You know, I mean, you know, as we all know, you can't really script life. And, you know, you can make plans, but, they don't always come to fruition and, you know, it doesn't always happen how you think it's going to happen. And, you know, you've got to make the best of it. And, you know, we're fortunate to have, you know, we have three great kids and, you know, a couple of them have kids already. So, you know, we had them kind of fairly young and then they even had them, you know, kind of fairly even younger than we did. So, so life happens fast, but it's been awesome. I couldn't imagine it any other different way. And, it's really cool. You know, we're excited that we get to, you know, watch our kids raise kids, you know, and that's something I don't think you take for granted. Not that we're trying to get all sappy and stuff. And then, you know, we're thankful that we'll get to be a part of our grandkids' lives. And, you know, I mean, hey, I mean, you know, I'm interested to see if my grandson or either, you know, I have two grandsons now, when will they be able to beat the old man in a game of pickleball? And I might be able to hold this thing off to my 70s. Like, I like it.
You know, Tommy, you just became a head coach like 5 years ago. Obviously, you went to the Final Four. You've had great success at Arizona. But the majority of your career in coaching up until this point was as an assistant in a location in the Great Northwest that wasn't easily accessible in terms of travel with recruiting. Now that you are a grandparent and now that you can look back a little bit on raising your family, how hard was it to balance the recruiting aspect, the coaching aspect with being a husband and a father?
I mean, those are great questions. I like where we're going with this interview. I mean, you know, what's funny about this business is you get into it because you love basketball, you know, just like I'm sure I know you love basketball, John, and it pushed you a certain direction. I love basketball, it pushed me a certain direction, but I don't think you fully realize how it's going to play out and, you know, the amount of time it's going to take to be successful in this business, or the amount of time it's going to take to build something, the amount of time it's going to take to kind of fight for your place in this business. And so you're thankful. I'm thankful that, you know, I have a great wife, you know, and God bless her. She had no idea what she was getting into. And I had just a little idea what I was getting into. And it's become our life. And we've kind of built our family life around it. My wife, you know, she loves everything we do. She's our biggest fan, but I also know it's not the most important thing in her life is the day-to-day happenings of Arizona basketball recruiting or transfer portaling. She's able to keep great perspective on it, and which allows me when I'm home to kind of just be a normal guy. I mean, taking out the garbage, you know, getting honey-do list, all those things. I live that life too. And it's not always my favorite things, but I think it's just kind of, it just shows that, you know, you can kind of choose how your life, want your life to be, no matter how busy you are. And I appreciate my wife and my family for letting me do this, because it does take a toll on a family. There's no doubt about that.
And having a great support system makes the special moments that much more special. And you had a special one, you know, a couple of months ago when you led Arizona to the Final Four. I'm curious, do you feel any different as a head coach now that you've led a program to the Final Four?
I don't feel different. I mean, I I'll be honest, I think there's maybe a different perception, you know, out there, you know, amongst people. I mean, I think you feel it when you're out in the community, or you're traveling across the country, or you're at an AAU event, you know. I think you definitely feel like you're definitely more recognized. But as far as, you know, my day-to-day life, I don't feel any different. I mean, I've been going through the same, you know, kind of process as I always do. And sometimes I wonder how I'm able to lead a team to win games. You know, I mean, I think that's just kind of the coaching mind and trying to continue to figure it out and trying to continue to get better. I know I've been, you know, the last, you know, month or so, I've been spending a lot of time, you know, trying to kind of think about, you know, how I want to continue to get better and what are the most important things for our program. And spending a lot of time on that stuff. And to me, that's the joy in the job, is kind of figuring out the processes. And this is what I know. It's a humbling job. Yeah. I mean, you know, you've never, you know, suffered so many gut punches, either from a loss or even a recruiting loss, that, I mean, this job, there's humble pie around every corner, you know, and you just gotta understand that and keep it moving. So I don't feel any different, you know, from where we were before, but I'm thankful it happened and excited to try to do it again.
And, you know, Tommy, you've had a number of great teams so far in your tenure at Arizona. What do you think maybe this team possessed that the others that preceded it maybe didn't?
Obviously we had really good players, and we probably just had a few more really good players than we've had before. I also think that, you know, for me, you know, being in my fifth year, you know, I mean, I knew going into the season, we had an opportunity to have a special team, and maybe, you know, I was a little more seasoned and prepared for the journey than maybe I had been in previous years. And I just think the combination of those two things. And then, you know, our staff's been together for a long time, and I've really been proud of the progress our staff's made and the development, you know, they've had as basketball coaches. I think that really added to our success this year as well.
You know, Tommy, one thing I think that didn't get enough attention last year was early in the season, you were playing UCLA in LA. You were down in the second half with less than 10 minutes to go. You came back and won that game. And then you flew across the country and won at UConn. I mean, I didn't think that was highlighted enough, but you came back against a very good opponent in Southern California and then went across the country to beat, again, a program that's been in three of the last four Final Fours. What did you learn about your team during those two victories?
That we were built for it, and, you know, everything didn't have to go for our way for us to be successful, that we could, you know, figure it out. And, you know, I mean, there needs to be an asterisk, you know, on that UConn game. I mean, Terrace Reed didn't play, you know, and either did their shooter, that guard Mullins didn't play either. So I don't want to like act like we went there and had all the answers, but, you know, needless to say, it's a great program. You're playing them on the road. It's early in the season, and they have a championship pedigree. And I'll never forget after the game, you know, Danny, you know, who's obviously entertaining to watch, you know, when he coaches, I'm probably a little bit more subdued. After the game, he grabbed me and pretty genuinely and authentically said, "Hey, you know, great job. And, I think we're going to see each other in Indianapolis. And when he said that, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you know, if he thinks that, you know, either he's being really nice to me or he sees something in us. And from a guy that's been there, you know, so many times recently, I mean, it meant a lot. And I think it kind of helped propel us forward to have a great season.
Yeah, I had a great season. I mean, 23 in a row to start the year. But then you lose at Kansas and you lose at home against Texas Tech. What did you learn about your team after going through that type of adversity for the first time that maybe you didn't know prior?
Well, that we were, you know, that we had championship DNA. And, you know, the game at Kansas was awesome. I mean, you know, anybody who's ever been to Allen Fieldhouse, you know, on a big Monday nonetheless, and the number one team in the country is coming in there. And, you know, Darren Peterson, you know, kind of was a scratch right before the game. I mean, it set the stage for a great night for them. And, you know, we battled in that game and, you know, we had opportunities and we just kind of let them get away from us a little bit at the end. And we even tried to scratch and claw back to the final buzzer, but weren't able to do it. You know, after that game, you know, I told our guys in the locker room that, you know, obviously no one's putting their heads down. This is a long journey. But I felt like our season just started. And let's see what we can do of it from here. And then you came back and you played, you know, a Texas Tech team that was, you know, really good. They still had Toppin.
Yeah.
You know, that's a program that on any given day can beat anybody. I mean, their staff does a great job of preparing them to win a game. And you know, we kind of come in, it's college game day, all these things are happening. And, you know, I think, you know, the disappointing thing for me is, you know, we had been so good at closing games all year. I think we were up 6 or 7 with a couple minutes to go and ended up losing the game in overtime. Then, you know, and then Koa starts experiencing some injury stuff. And Dwayne Aristode, you know, gets sick. So, you know, now not only have we lost a couple games, but we've lost a couple of our soldiers.
Yeah.
And then so you feel like, oh my God, could this great season be slipping through our fingers? And, you know, I mean, you know, what do we got to do to preserve it? And I think we had a really tough part of our schedule coming up. I think we had BYU, Houston, and then like Iowa State, Kansas, Houston, Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas. It was like a gauntlet.
Yeah.
And a couple of them were on the road. And man, our guys rose to the occasion. And we came, we played shorthanded, we played well. You know, we went to in Houston where they hadn't won forever and were able to kind of control a lot of the game and find a way to get over the top at the end, which, you know, was no small feat. We go to Baylor on the road, you know, coming off a big win at Houston. We're still shorthanded and, you know, Baylor plays really well, but our guys find a way to kind of get it done at the end. And then, yeah, you know, it set the stage. That's when I knew we could win the Big 12. And then our guys, you know, kept kind of building momentum from there. And it was awesome. It was awesome to see, because you're right. These seasons, people kind of, they might remember a few highlights and then they remember the end result, but they forget the beauty and the journey in the middle of it. And so for me, those were great moments for our program.
And the journey is all about putting yourself in position ultimately to get to a Final Four. And to get to the Final Four, you obviously have to coach and play in the Elite Eight. This was your first time in the Elite Eight, and coaches have always told me that that is the game where coaches feel the most pressure because of what's at stake on the other side. Did you feel more pressure coaching in the Elite Eight than any other game you had coached in previously?
You know, I don't think I felt any more pressure. You know, I thought we had a great opportunity. Obviously, we're going up against a team that had a championship pedigree in Purdue. You know, I think for me, it was just important that we kind of, the first thing was just like, you know, we had this good season. Let's get through the first weekend. And, you know, we played a scrappy Utah State team and, you know, we're kind of able to get through that. Then, you know, you play Coach Cal, who's, you know, one of the all-time greats in the Sweet 16. And, you know, that's a hurdle that we hadn't overcome yet.
Right.
And so we were able to play really well in that game. And then, you know, you get a shot in the Elite Eight. And, you know, I've been in fortunately, I don't know, 4 or 5 of those games while during my time at Gonzaga. And you just want to play well, you know. Yep. You just want to play well and kind of let the chips fall where they may. You obviously know you're going to be playing a great opponent. And we did play well. We started the game well. And then Purdue kind of made a really strong run at the end of the half to go up like 7.
Mm-hmm.
And our guys just weren't going to be denied, you know. We know, I mean, it's not any, you know, fire and brimstone speech. It was just our guys, you know, what felt like this was theirs this opportunity was theirs and they needed to go take advantage of it. And we came in the second half and played really well against a good Purdue team. And, And it was great. And then, you know, then you get to the Final Four and we ran into a monster.
You ran into a monster. But before you got to the Final Four, after you beat Purdue, you took the mic after the game and I thought gave a beautiful speech. Not so much just celebrating your own team, but celebrating all of Arizona's fans. You gave a salute to Lute Olson. What was it like during that moment in the middle of the court?
It was great. Just happy, you know, just happy and trying to stay present, you know, not, you know, making sure that you're acknowledging all the people that helped you on the way. And, you know, and it's no secret, you know, Arizona basketball is one of the strongest brands, you know, historically in the game, you know, at least, you know, you are my recent history, you know, the last, you know, 40 years or so. And you know, I'm fortunate to be the head coach, and I don't think any day goes by where, you know, I should ever think it's me, that I'm the reason. I mean, I inherited a great program, a great brand. Yeah. What I'm trying to do is, you know, reestablish this brand, you know, as one of the preeminent in college basketball year in and year out. And people may say that we're there. I always still feel like there's work to be done. And so I'm just thankful. And I wanted to make sure I acknowledge, you know, the people that came before me that did an amazing job of building the infrastructure of this program. And then the kind of the tradition, the history, the legacy, the bones of the program for me to kind of, you know, kind of shepherd it into, I guess, its next era. So I just wanted to make sure I acknowledged all that. Obviously, you know, Arizona basketball would not be what it is without Lute Olson.
Yeah.
You know, and then they had that little time in between there where there was a few changes. And then Sean came here and did obviously a really good job continuing to build the brand and build great rosters at Arizona. And, you know, I mean, they easily could have made a Final Four, you know, just like we did. It just didn't happen. I mean, it's no slight on anybody. So, and for me to be in this situation, I think it's important that I acknowledge everything that came before me and just to kind of let everybody know this is about the program. It's not about me.
What was it like during the NCAA tournament attempting to lead your team to the Final Four while balancing the interest from North Carolina?
It wasn't hard. You know, I mean, you know, first off, you know, North Carolina is a great program. And I mean, you know, it's just the old deal of the 15-year-old, you know, kid in me, you know, that's out shooting baskets in the small town of Kelso, Washington, you know, who's, you know, parents didn't play, you know, high school sports and all this thing, you know, and grew up in this blue collar logging town. If somebody would have ever told you, you know, you'd have these opportunities, you'd probably think they're as crazy. Cause to be honest with you, I'd probably be just as happy being the coach at Kelso High School. I probably would have had a great life, you know? And so, it was awesome. You know, I mean, to understand that you have these opportunities, but, you know, I think it's really important to understand. I really believe in, you know, if you just look at my history, I'm not a mover and a shaker. You know, I mean, I've had two jobs my whole life. I've done one job interview and I've never filled out a resume until after I got the job. So, you know, so like, I'm not a guy that's moving and shaking and trying the next thing. And I really believe in, you know, compound return on your investment, and that's talking with time and relationships. And so I feel like we have the opportunity to build something special here. And I feel like I owe it to these fans and this university to see if I can help them kind of recapture that and to build upon, you know, those glory days.
Does coaching in the NBA give you something down the road that you might want to shoot for?
You know, at this point, not really. You know, I mean, you never want to say never. And I would just say from this perspective, winning's hard. And you know, some may be better coaches than others, you know, but to have the hubris to think that I could walk in there and be successful. I mean, I don't think that's showing the respect to all the coaches that have tried and maybe struggled or failed at that level, or the coaches that have had success. And for me, you know, I would definitely want to learn more about the NBA, the NBA game, the day-to-day stuff, you know, before I even like, you know, went down that path, you know, but that being said, you know, with Dusty doing it, I mean, you know, that's exciting for him. And I think Dusty's built for it. I played against him a couple of times. He's as sharp as any coach in the game today. And I think he's got a great perspective on things. I'm sure it's going to be incredibly challenging, you know, and obviously he's up for the challenge. So I'm excited to cheer him on from afar.
You mentioned earlier in our chat about the fact that you and your wife are adding grandkids now. Does the ability to balance basketball and family in the Tucson area make the marriage between you and Arizona that much more of a fit for the long term?
I think so, for sure. I mean, it's a great fit with my family, you know, in Tucson and, you know, me at the University of Arizona. It all kind of blends together. We got a lot of family that's kind of migrated here, and Tucson's kind of one of those communities. It's funny, someone moves here from a family, it's amazing how many family members follow. And it's just got a high quality of life here. And obviously you got to, you know, right now we're in the thick of it with a pretty hot summer, but you know, you deal with that a little bit. And then you got 9 beautiful months of weather and you got a great community. And so I feel like it's a great fit, and, you know, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. And, you know, I want to deliver for these fans in this university every single day.
At California Closets, we design for the little things. Take this moment of a woman getting dressed for an early meeting while her husband's still asleep. Ah, sorry. And now, the California Closets version of that moment, featuring custom soft close drawers. Bedroom and home storage solutions by designers who get you. California Closets. More room for what matters.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Tommy, give me your impressions on the roster you've put together for 26-27.
You know, I mean, obviously we're still, I mean, maybe trying to add a piece or two. You know, it's amazing, you know, how this thing changes, but I love the pieces we have. You know, I think we got good continuity in a lot of important spots. I love some of the new additions we have. You know, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how the roster finishes off, kind of more I lock into maybe a plan A style of play. But that's exciting. I mean, we've had great workouts this summer. You know, but we're taking a couple weeks off right now, and then we're going to kind of reconvene here back at the end of the month. And you know, we had an awesome, unique opportunity to go to Lithuania and play some really good basketball teams. We're playing the Lithuania senior team, the Ukrainian senior team, the Lithuanian B team. I mean, it's going to be a daunting task for a team that's just kind of gotten thrown together. So I'm excited to build for that, and I think that'll give us a good jump start on the season. But you know, I'm excited. I mean, I with all the teams, I'm not setting any limitations on these guys, and I feel like this has a chance to be, you know, a team on par with the teams we built recently at Arizona.
I remember when I was at practice last year in the preseason, and as you've mentioned a couple of times, you're a subdued guy, but on a couple of different possessions, the ball was not going inside and you stopped practice. You might have raised your voice a little bit because you wanted to keep reiterating why the ball needed to touch the paint. Do you have any idea from an identity standpoint just yet how this team is going to play compared to last year's team, which was obviously dominant in the paint?
Well, I mean, the position that always swings that is kind of the four. And you know, that's the position we're still trying to kind of finalize right now. I think we have some good options. You know, I mean, I think, you know, Ivan Karchinkov can play the four. You know, I still want to have a kind of a big lineup plan, you know, so I'm still trying to see, you know, how that ends up being, because Ivan is, you know, whatever position Ivan plays, he's going to play to his strengths and how he plays. He's such a good all-around player. You know, we went into Houston last year and Yvonne was the starting four and we found a way to get a win. So I think it could be a successful style for us. But I know that Mo Crevis is going to be an important part of everything that we do, you know, at both ends of the floor. And, you know, I'm hoping, you know, he can kind of take the next steps and I know he can, and we just didn't have to kind of rely on it as much last year, but maybe playing through him more in the post and even playing through him more on the perimeter. And, you know, I think he's going to be a force in college basketball this year. You know, Derek Dixon's been a nice addition to our team. And I think he's, you know, had great opportunities at North Carolina and he's ready to build on those here and kind of hopefully see that freshman to sophomore jump. You know, JJ Maniquette, the same thing, you know, who's kind of recovering from an injury after, you know, transferring from Washington. And then, And then, you know, Caleb Holt, you know, I mean, I think, you know, people are going to be surprised. You know, I don't think I need to go out and do it, say too many accolades about Caleb, because I think his performance is going to speak loudly enough. But I'm excited for the country to kind of see what he's all about. And then, you know, Cam Holmes is another freshman we got that's, you know, a 6'6" wing, athletic, good IQ, good player, great energy. So I like how the pieces come together. And then we kind of have this plethora of some bigs and some developmental players that have been making great progress. So no, it's been a fun summer. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing if we can add a final piece or two to the roster, and then, you know, kind of, you know, making some committed decisions on what we want to do to be successful.
And as usual, those pieces will be showcased in an arduous non-conference schedule. UCLA on opening night in Las Vegas, at Auburn, UConn at home, 3 in Maui, St. John's in the Garden, Arkansas and Phoenix. Feels like every year we say, is this the toughest schedule that you've had? But this, as usual, right out of the gate on opening night, just like last night, is going to be an arduous slate. Are we missing anything of note with that 8-game stretch right there of non-conference play?
Well, nothing of note. For one, I don't think you need to mention all that, because I'm trying to enjoy my summer. I watched film on kind of the Ukraine and Lithuania this morning, and I know we got our hands full with that. So I want to get through that. But the thing I think you failed to mention is just the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 18 monster games, and I know that's not in those first eight, but, like, you know, it makes for a great summer. A great season. And, you know, last year, I think, we played like some crazy number, like, I don't know, was it like 20 or 23 quad one games or some crazy thing like that. So, which is fun. It's fun to go out and compete at that level every single day. And I think it's something that players that come to this program are excited to be a part of.
Tommy, I know you're all about new experiences and life and coaching, and you've done so many things already in your coaching career. But the one thing that jumps out to me, of course, as a New York resident and native, is you have not, as a head coach yet, coached in Madison Square Garden, and you are going to come to New York in December to go toe-to-toe with Rick Pitino. I know you've been to a Final Four. I know you've done so many different things, but how cool is it for you, and how excited are you to come to the world's most famous arena to trade wits with a Hall of Famer like Rick Pitino in December?
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously, we're excited. And, it's a great opportunity to showcase our program. And we want to play in games like that against, you know, great coaches and great programs. And I don't know, but I just think it's this New York thing. Is it me trying to manifest this meeting with the Beastie Boys? I've been trying to kind of work in my whole life here. And I know they're probably spending more time in LA than New York, especially that time of the year. But I know I did get a message from my boy Mixmaster Mike, you know, who DJed for the Beastie Boys, that he's hyped about the New York City game, and he's definitely going to be there in full force.
You have been a quarter zip guy the last couple of years because it's the Garden, because it's against Rick Pitino. Any chance Tommy Lloyd comes out in a suit?
I was thinking going hoodie. You know, I think I'm going hoodie. I think probably very few chances on the suit. Not who I am. You know, in my town, where I grew up in Kelso, Washington, I mean, his suit was a pair of Levi's and a shirt with a collar. You know, I mean, that was about as good as it got. So the suit deal, you know, I do have some really good friends down by Union Square that own a clothing store called Rothman's. And I've had they've hooked me up with some suits over the years, but now I think I'm keeping it light. You know, living in the desert, it's hot. You know, you got to stay cool. And so I just don't have the suit in my game anymore.
Well, let's say this all turns into a movie one day, from Kelso, Washington, to Gonzaga, to Arizona, to taking a team to the Final Four. Who plays Tommy Lloyd?
I mean, you know, Brad Pitt will probably be a little old, you know, when you're looking at likeness. I don't know. I mean, I'm not too worried about a movie, but that's funny that you say that. You have to give me some thought to come up with somebody really good there. I mean, who would be a good Tommy Lloyd actor? You know, I don't know. That's, Dwayne Johnson, you know, probably not, huh? Yeah, probably doesn't. The look in the body.
Tim Robbins, maybe Tim Robbins?
Maybe Tim Robbins. There you go. Yeah, Tim Robbins. That would be a good one. You know, the one I used to get, and I don't know, you know, because I know I'm not a lot to look at, but I used to get people used to always say Quentin Tarantino, but okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you guys think about that one, and I'm sure though, I definitely won't go on social media because I'm sure I'll be getting crushed, you know, with the comps. So.
All right. Well, let's wrap on this. I know you're still trying to finish out your roster. I know you got some really, really stern tests coming up on this foreign tour. But aside from that, and aside from finishing, you know, the final touches on your personnel, what are going to be the biggest keys for Arizona to be in a comparable position next season than it was a year ago?
You know, I think to kind of figure out what our identity is and our values are and really hold true to those, to build great habits, you know, that impact winning, you know, and you're trying to do that now. You know, I think, you know, for me and for coaches, it's really important for year to year, not to compare yourself to your last team or your last two teams. Let this team have its own journey and understand that you're part of it, you know, and try to impact it as positively as you can. I mean, you know, that's where my mind's at right now. I'm thankful for last year. I'm thankful for the first 5 years. Yeah. But this next journey is going to be its own. And making sure that you give the team the best opportunity to develop in the most authentic, best version of itself. And so, you know, I think as a coach, you know, you kind of try to set some guidelines. You maybe have some ideas. But don't be so stubborn that maybe you, you know, you steer the team in the wrong direction based on, you know, your own personal, you know, biases, you know, and things such as that. So I'm excited to start over. And, you know, what's so different now in college basketball, and I think, you know, every coach will tell you is, you know, the rhythm has changed to the year. And, you know, it used to be like you would lose, you know, and you know, your season would end, I guess is a better way to put it. And then you take a couple weeks off and then you'd start back with that next group of guys.
Right.
Now it's a ghost town. And when the season ends, your guys, you really don't get on the court back till for a couple months, almost till June. So you kind of take that break and you're, you know, trying to figure out what your roster looks like and you're recruiting and kind of take a breath all at the same time. And then, you know, you get back on the court, but that being said, you know, getting back on the court was awesome and it's felt good. And it just keeps reminding me, that's my favorite place to be, you know, is when I'm back on the court, trying to figure it out with a new group. So I'm excited for the journey and, you know, I'm not going to set any limitations on us. I'm not going to make any crazy proclamations. Let's just put our heads down and get to work.
Well, as usual, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Tommy, appreciate a couple of minutes. Know how busy you are. Congratulations on a great season. Congratulations on the new additions to the Lloyd family. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
Good. Thanks, John. Have a good one.
You got it. That's Arizona head coach Tommy Lloyd. I'm John Rothstein, and this is Inside College Basketball Now.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.